It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
This week for our regular Green Party segment, I spoke with co-leader James Shaw. We discussed the Green Party's call for a housing warrant of fitness in New Zealand to ensure that all houses are warm, dry and healthy homes, as well as talking about the move towards electric cars across Aotearoa. I began by asking, why does New Zealand need a housing warrant of fitness?
Look, New Zealand has, frankly, quite shocking housing in comparison to other OECD countries, and it causes tens of thousands of hospitalisations for unnecessary respiratory illnesses. And in fact, in winter, we think it causes something like 3,000 premature deaths, particularly amongst old people in the winters when they can't adequately heat their homes. So my view is that you need a warrant of fitness to rent someone a car so that it's roadworthy and doesn't kill them if it gets into an accident. I think if you rent someone a house, it should also have a standard of basic healthiness.
What does this housing warrant of fitness look like?
Well, I don't know yet. There are a couple of experiments that have been running in Dunedin and in Wellington, but the idea is a bit like a vehicle warrant of fitness, that if you're running a rental property, that on a sort of reasonably regular basis, sort of once every few years or so, it should be assessed to make sure that it is kind of weather tight, that it's warm and healthy and dry.
I suppose just going back to that point about cars with warrant of fitnesses, cars and houses are quite different, I suppose, having a stock standard, having a one blanket policy for how houses should be is quite different to cars, considering right across the country, New Zealand's weather is incredibly changeable. Houses typically are semi-detached homes, which are exposed to the weather from all sides. With humid weather and increasing tropical storms up north, dry hot summers down south, and cold wet winters all around, how can we create a warrant of fitness that will ensure that all houses are dry, warm and healthy for every New Zealander?
Well, look, other countries have actually solved this problem, right? If you go to, Europe, where I lived for kind of much of my kind of adult life, I think, a number of the countries there experience far more extreme ranges of temperature than we do. You know, they get down to, in Northern Europe, it's low as minus 10 or minus 20 in the depths of winter. And in the heights of summer, can get close to, 35 or 40 degrees. And so building standards there have kind of evolved over time, kept up with, new and emerging technologies, and ensured that people have got the highest quality kind of building standards. And I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be able to do that here in New Zealand as well. I mean, after all, there are many different types of vehicle on the road as well. There's everything from motorcycles through to four-wheeled vehicles, light trucks, heavy trucks, buses and so on. They all have to have a warrant of fitness. And we've got a system there that is sufficiently flexible to enable those different types of vehicle. I'm pretty sure we could do the same with houses.
So do you think it's about following sort of a similar structure to what has been done in Europe?
I would agree with you that we do need to make sure that we've got something that works for the New Zealand economy and for New Zealand circumstances. And that's why I endorse the experiments that have been running in Dunedin and in Wellington City. But I do think that those experiments, they've been kind of going for a year or so now, and it's probably time for us to kind of take what we can learn from them and scale them up to the rest of the country.
So current landlords may think it's hard to make a profit on a rental property if you're going to spend money on maintaining a warrant of fitness. How will you get landlords on board when they might just see it as too much of a hassle and get rid of their rentals, which would worsen New Zealand's housing stock anyway?
Well, it actually wouldn't, because you've got to remember, if they sell their rentals, who are they selling them to? They're either selling them to owner-occupiers or they're selling them to to other investors who will, work out a way to run them at a profit. I mean, partially this is because of the way that we've structured our tax systems in New Zealand incentivizes people to invest in property for capital gain rather than for profit. And so, there are some things that we're looking at in terms of that which might help to kind of rebalance that equation.
I suppose it is just... does, I mean, I know that point is that, yes, it does go back into the housing market and it will potentially be picked up. But with houses being as expensive as they are now, do you think that's more of a risk?
Well, I mean, one of the things that we're trying to do is to ensure, A, that there's a lot more housing on the market through the Kiwi Build program, which is an incredibly ambitious program, and B, we are trying to shift the balance of incentives in the economy to flatten out the rise in house price increase so that more people are able to afford to own and live in their own homes.
So last week you said that New Zealand's 10,000th electric vehicle is a first baby step into a future without fossil-fueled cars. How are we going to continue with these steps forward?
Well, there are a couple of... There's good news and bad news to last week's announcement. The good news is that we've seen an exponential rate of increase, right? So, 5 years ago, there were only 250 electric vehicles on New Zealand's roads. Now there are 10,000. And in the last month alone, there are an additional 500 that were added. So the rate of increase for the last month exceeded the total number of EVs 5 years ago, which is terrific. The bad news is that it still adds up to only 0.26%, so 0.25% of our total vehicle fleet. So we've got a long way to go. And so Ministry of Transport, NZTA and others are working on a kind of a package of measures to try and accelerate the uptake of electric vehicles at the moment.
How, because obviously I suppose electric vehicles are more, at the moment, are probably more expensive or sort of seem less obtainable than just your stock standard car.
Yes.
How are we going to make them more affordable, easier for people to access in New Zealand?
Well, I mean, we're working through a range of options at the moment. I mean, the thing is you can get now for your average student, this is going to be unobtainable, but you can get a second-hand Nissan Leaf battery-powered Nissan Leaf for about $12,000 to $14,000, which for a middle-class New Zealand family is probably about what we would normally spend on, say, a Toyota Corolla or something like that, also second-hand. So there is a portion of the market that is starting to move into that kind of affordability range. But at the bottom of the market, we don't have anything there. And so we're trying to work out, well, what do we do about low-income households? If we can fix that, then I think then things are really going to pick up because of the running cost of an electric vehicle is a fraction of the running cost of a combustion engine vehicle. So, it's the equivalent of about 30 cents per litre for the electricity to charge your thing versus $2 a litre if you're using a combustion engine vehicle. So, I think once we can work out the economics of it, people will really switch to this in pretty large numbers, especially in our cities. Still a bit of a difficulty for people living, in rural areas where there's long distances to travel and we haven't quite got the charging network up and running yet, but we're getting there.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.